Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Right now, we're going to head out to the Western Hotline and talk with a good friend of the show. And a good friend of mine is Brian Duff. He is the in-game TV host for the Sabres broadcast on MSG. Brian, hope you're doing well during these times. Thanks for taking the time on this beautiful Friday to join me here.
Brayden, good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's great to hear from you as well. And hopefully we get the chance at some point soon to not just talk over the phone, but actually get the chance to talk in person about not only Sabres hockey, but just everything in general, just because everything that's going on right now, it's kind of a downer that there's no hockey going on right now. And we don't know if there's going to be hockey anytime soon with what's going on right now around the NHL.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, obviously the latest challenges that the league is facing as far as, you know, the players and the owners trying to get on the same page is, it's unfortunate, but it's also, I don't think it can be totally unexpected at this point in time. These are, you know, impossible almost times to navigate for both sides. It's just, it's an unfortunate, you know, development based on how smooth the labor situation was when the pandemic began.
Right.
But again, hard not to understand the concerns of both sides at a time like this.
For sure. Well, I got you on to talk some Sabres hockey, and so I'll get right into it, and I'll kind of ask the big question of what I've got going on this morning. What is your biggest question surrounding this Sabres team heading into next season?
I'm hoping this one has not been answered or addressed. I'm going to go with, and it's maybe the least sexy answer of all of them, I'm going to go with the penalty kill and the deployment of personnel to fix it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
This is, you know, it's maybe too easy to use it as a game changer, a season changer. I think it's fair to assume that last year's power play should have been better, and moving forward, it definitely should be better based on depth of personnel, i.e. a very potentially strong second power play unit now compared to what we've seen in years past. But as disappointing as the power play was, the penalty kill was obviously far more, you lose words sometimes for how bad it was at times, and it's a collective failure. That's the point here. Yeah, it's easy to look at goaltender save percentage, but why did goaltenders find themselves in certain positions in that? And even like in a microcosm of the last seven games before the pause, they lost six in a row before winning that final game, and never in those six games did they win the special teams battle. The power play was completely dry, and the penalty kill was kind of, you know, meh,
right,
like it had been most of the year. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I actually have them at the office, which I haven't been to in a while. For the season, their record when they lose the special teams battle. And needless to say, it's pretty alarming. So my point in all of this would be find a way to use Jack Eichel more on the penalty kill. And I know that the coach isn't necessarily, a huge fan of that, but given the potential balance up front now that could alleviate some of Jack's minutes at 5-on-5, I look at guys around the league that rank in the top, 50 or so as far as forwards in time on ice shorthanded. Zibanejad, Marner, Ryan O'Reilly, Lindholm, Couturier, Kevin Hayes, Mark Stone, Jonathan Toews. Those guys all play 2-plus minutes per game on the PK. I'm not even saying Jack has to get near 2 minutes, but give him 1 minute instead of 17 seconds, because the best penalty kill is when you have elite puck-handling guys that can get you out of dangerous situations. Instead of a desperate chip off the wall, hold the puck for half a second, make a spin move, and get it down the ice. That's what skilled players do. And then to the other end of that would be Rasmus Dahlin, who in his 2 years in the NHL is averaging about 10 seconds of shorthanded time on ice per game. Now, it's totally understandable based on his inexperience at the NHL level. However, in year three, we're talking about a significant step in opportunity for him and all situations of opportunities. So if you start him, again, same concept applies here. You don't have to have Rasmus Dahlin selling out, diving, throwing his body on pucks, you know, hammering guys in a physical way. Not that he's, you know, he likes to take the hit sometimes, but penalty kill is probably not the best time to do it. I'd rather see Rasmus control the puck, make a smart play. And I think when you, you know, if you start seeing that and just a reorganization of how you employ guys on the PK, you've got to find a way to get back into the top 10, which they've only been once in the last 5 years. I think it'll make a huge difference for this team.
Brian Duff joining us here on the Western Hotline, the in-game host on the MSG networks for the Sabres televised games. So, Brian, Sabres had a pretty busy offseason, I think you could say, in terms of adding to the forward group. They acquire Eric Staal from Minnesota, but perhaps the biggest one, Taylor Hall signing a one-year deal with the Sabres and joining the group here as, you know, maybe one of the best wingers in the NHL. But I think one of the big questions heading into the offseason is, where is he going to line up? And, you know, the thought is that maybe you put him with Jack Eichel, two really good perennial players on the same line. Who wouldn't want that, right? Or are you on the boat where, you know, maybe you want to distribute the offense a little more, and if you're going to have Jack Eichel on one line, why not have Taylor Hall on the other? Where are you kind of standing at that point? Is Hall maybe guaranteed to play with Eichel for you, or do you think that he should maybe be on his own line?
No, I think the fit with Jack makes 100% sense right off the bat. If for some reason they don't show chemistry, comfortability with one another, then you have the luxury of being able to, like you say, spread it out a little bit, and perhaps that works wonders for the group too. So I would go Hall and Eichel. I think the door is wide open for, you know, potentially anyone to play on that right side. You know, if, and these are huge ifs now because we just have nothing to base it on for a lot of these guys, especially the ones that haven't been on loan and playing in Europe. But like, you know, a Tage Thompson, a Dylan Cousins, you know, is Olofsson best flipped over to that side? Should Reinhardt stay with Jack? I mean, you literally have, I think, endless options on the right side, but they have to be earned and they have to look the part. And but I would definitely start with Hall and Eichel. And then, you know, after that, it's again, incredible to think about the potential that they have. I think the Eric Staal acquisition should certainly not be overlooked in any way, because I think it's a major game changer as far as how you put wingers in a better position to succeed. The challenge, of course, will be, and it may or may not appease the fans, is if they, for whatever reason, and there could be 100% valid reasons, to not have as many potentially offensive guys on the roster, i.e., like if Cousins doesn't, you know, fit in their eyes, if Ritsalainen doesn't fit in their eyes at this point in time, do we then see more of the Tobias Reeders and Cody Eakins of the world? There was a reason they were signed to begin with, right?
Right.
So it's just, I think we're at a point where it's tantalizing to think back to 05, 06, 06, 07 when you had pretty amazing balance through the lines. Now you also still add some, you know, bigger grinder type guys filling out some of those bottom spots on the forward ranks. It's just, I just think that because they've clearly taken on the penalty kill fix idea as a significant one here, it's going to be hard for me to imagine all of the young skilled guys making this roster.
All right. So in your situation, if you have Hall and Eichel on that top line, what do the Sabres do on the right side of that line? Do they make the switch with Olofsson from left side to the right side with him having that great shot? Do they keep Sam Reinhart on that right side? Maybe do they try Tage Thompson up there or something like that? What do you think they do on the right side, not only on the first line, but the second line for that matter, if you have a guy like Skinner and Staal playing together?
Right. Thompson's been my preferred choice there. And again, it's a what if. It's how does he come out of missing almost an entire season due to injury, and then the extended layoff in which he's had, you know, tremendous ability to, like, I would say reshape, but it's more grow his upper body along with, you know, the building the leg strength that he has focused on dramatically in the last year. You know, if his defensive awareness and responsibility is sound, I would love to see him in that position with Eichel and Hall. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I mean, again, like how open is the door for Dylan Cousins? Because Cousins makes sense to me playing with an Eric Staal, and I would be fine with Olofsson on the left side on that line. It doesn't have to be Skinner and Staal, in my opinion, just because they happen to be teammates and at times line mates in the past. You know, it's not like it was this decade-long marriage where they were always playing with one another. I look for, you know, and I know we've said this often, but like, experiment in training camp. Don't, you know, like, find what fits, find what works here, and hope that you're able to utilize what clearly should be newfound balance among the top nine.
Right, and one of those guys as well that I think of is Sam Reinhart, because he's been with Jack Eichel for so long, and both of those guys have great chemistry. There's no denying it. They love to play with each other. But at the same point, in the argument of, well, you need to distribute the offense throughout the entire lineup, it might be better to finally get that chance, like you said, in training camp or in whatever type of preseason that they may have, to throw him on his own line by himself, whether it's on the second line or third line, and see how he drives the offense. Because I think if they do that, they might get a better production out of him. And not only that, but with the argument of, well, you know, can Reinhart produce outside of playing with Jack Eichel? I think this is exactly the time to take that opportunity to see if that's going to work for this team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think, but I also think, you know, Sam is, he's versatile enough, I think, to go up and down in that, you know, the top nine. And I think what's also great about that is there's, you know, potentially when you separate guys at 5-on-5, I think there's always the excitement that can drive a group when they get back together on the power play. And so I think that can, you know, fuel something in that regard. But I also can't get away from the notion of just how much better potentially the second unit can be. And like, Jeff Skinner's strength in the league has been even strength scoring. But when you have a 40-goal season, yeah, some of that is on the power play. And you would like to see a little bit more of that some on the power play come back for Jeff, right? Because that should then carry over a little bit of, you know, confidence, if you will, in the 5-on-5 play. Because regardless of how you score, when scorers aren't scoring, they're not feeling great about their contributions to the team. So if Jeff is on Staal's line, or if he's playing with Sam in, you know, in a newly configured third line, if you will, I still look at him as having then an opportunity to have meaningful contribution on the power play, even if he's not on the first unit. So it kind of feels like we've talked in circles on this. Maybe,
I know,
Braden, I've just had so many text message exchanges with so many people about this because it's gone on for so long.
Yeah.
That, you know, I can't help but smile at the thought that maybe we're getting really close to training camp.
Yeah.
And we can actually see it in person.
Yeah, I know. Well, hopefully at this point we'll see it at some point during training camp. One other player I want to ask you about up front, at least, is Arttu Ruotsalainen. We saw a little sample size of him during the preseason last year. I think there was a lot of good things that we saw from him in terms of, I think that he can keep up with the speed of the NHL despite playing for so long in Finland on the bigger ice surfaces, and also the fact that he was put in situations on, you know, power play and even penalty kill, especially penalty kill during the preseason. But he goes back to Finland, he gets another year of development, he starts out this year on a loan, and is one of the top producers in the entire league over there. What is it going to take for him to be able to make this roster right off the bat to start the year? Or do you see him taking more of that Olofsson development where, yes, despite the success overseas on the bigger ice surfaces, he needs that time in the AHL to really get his style of play in North America solidified before making that jump to the NHL?
I mean, if we're betting, then I would bet on the latter of your statements there. But I think performance should outweigh that every single time.
Yeah.
If there's a significant, obvious presentation of his all-around skill set in training camp, exhibition, whatever exhibition's going to be, I mean, who knows, right? I mean, that could be the hard part here is not necessarily having enough time to, quote-unquote, prove yourself in situations like that. But, you know, as much as the first thing that I talked to you about was the penalty kill, I do find it somewhat ironic that R2 is also leading the Finnish Liga in shorthanded goals right now among his league-leading goal totals.
Yeah.
So I don't know enough on a shift-in, shift-out, game-by-game basis, and no one does because he's not played here at the highest level, what he could do in those dimensions of the game. But is there greater upside now for this player who was signed a couple of years ago? Absolutely. I think he's developed into an incredibly exciting prospect for this team. But I would still think that your assessment of likely path to start in the AHL is probably the right one.
Probably. And last thing I'll ask you here, Brian, before we let you go, how different do you think that the defense is going to look this year? I mean, there hasn't been much really different about what they did in the offseason. Ristolainen's still here. Colin Miller's still here. Brandon Montour is in the picture for another year. Despite not changing any of the personnel that's going to be in the defensive unit, how different do you think they could look this year under another year in Ralph Krueger, and how much that can affect the goaltending and maybe an improvement in goaltending between Linus Ullmark and Carter Hutton?
Well, I think it's enormous, and that's kind of why, when you phrased the first question the way you did, to me, it's not just about, who's going to be on the PK and who's going to fix the PK. It's actually still who's going to be on the roster. And when I say that, I look more at the blue line. Is there an opportunity to go through like the really, really, really infinite stages of the regular season and make a move? Because you might have, it's hard to ever say that you have a surplus of defensemen, but perhaps you've got guys like Bryson and Borgen knocking on the door, if not charging through it at that point in time, where you then try something different to produce more of a 100% left-right balance on the blue line. How much is the trust in a third-year Rasmus Dahlin going to change the ice time dynamic between the group? How much is Henry Jokiharju, who I didn't mention on the PK, but at least from his standard compared to Dahlin, like at least Henry's been playing a minute per game on the PK. How much more does he take? Like the elevation of these roles, Dahlin, Jokiharju, if Borgen and Bryson, like that to me is where we're going to see the change. Because you're right, other than Matt Irwin right now, it doesn't seem like there's an awful lot different in that group other than figuring out how to deploy them from a pairing and ice time standpoint. So in many ways, it's like the forward combinations, right? What's going to work best? But I don't know. In my gut, I still feel like they've got at least one, like of the seven that we look at, like I feel like one of them's still not going to be here for very long when the season begins.
All right. Well, Brian, before we let you go, I want to get you, allow you to give the chance to plug what the Sabres and everything that's going on with Hockey Fights Cancer and what the Sabres are doing with Hockey Fights Cancer this month.
Well, I'm really happy that the NHL, Brayden, has continued this theme that they've embodied in November for decades now. And with Hockey Fights Cancer ongoing, despite not having games in the rink right now, it allows us to continue to partner with Roswell Park here in the community to present some great fundraising initiatives and, most importantly, raise money that will be kept in the community for research at Roswell Park and, of course, to benefit Howard Chuck Strong. We lost one of the great Sabres of all time, one of the great NHLers of all time, Dale Howard Chuck, in the summer. We recently put together an extended Royal Round on Sabres.com, hearing from a lot of his former teammates with great tributes to the man that Dale was, most importantly, off the ice as well as on. And we've created a mosaic poster and puzzle of which it's comprised of, Sabre images, game images over the years that make up the puzzle. And they're available at sabres.com/hockeyfightscancer. And again, to raise money for Roswell Park and Howard Chuck Strong. It's a really, really cool mosaic for a player that probably will never quite get his due as one of the greats in the game, and we were lucky to have him here for 5 years in Dale Hawerchuk.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you taking the time this morning to join me. Stay well. Hope you and your family are doing well, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks, Braden. You too.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.